It's here and now. Who Americans will vote for is up in the air, but who they're reading is more clear, and the news is not good for Democrats. Take this week's New York Times hardcover nonfiction bestseller list. At number two, former New York Times editor and conservative author Edward Klein's The Amateur, which argues that President Obama is too inexperienced for the White House. It's followed by Dinesh D'Souza's book arguing that President Obama is the architect of American decline. According to Amazon, right-leaning or red books are outselling left-leaning or blue books by a wide margin, which doesn't surprise Here and Now literary critic Steve Almond. In fact, he's been noticing conservative books have been dominating the bestseller list for quite a while now, and he joins us to talk about it. And let's get this out of the way. Steve, you are left-leaning.
Yes. Guilty as charged.
You famously resigned a teaching job at Boston College a few years back because they invited Condoleezza Rice as a commencement speaker. You know, this is as the war in Iraq in full bore mode. But as a literary critic, you say you find you're finding a lot to admire in these right-leaning books.
Well, admire is maybe not exactly the word I would choose, but I understand why, or I've come to understand why the books that are generated by the white sort of right-wing punditocracy are so compelling. And it actually was a question that I'd been wondering about, because anybody who looks at the bestseller list is always seeing the same names over and over again. Every couple of years, Glenn Beck and Coulter and Limbaugh and all the rest of them. And I was thinking, gee, you know, why are people so compelled? But in fact, then I went and visited some relatives of mine, and I saw their bookcase. And their bookcase consisted of Janet Ivanovich and a bunch of other thrillers and a bunch of books by right-wing pundits. And when they talked about those books, they were very emotionally involved with them. So I took the time to, you know, read some of them. And what I found, Robin, was pretty fascinating. I mean, these are books that, putting aside whether they are factual or not, are deeply emotionally and psychologically involving. They basically take a sort of the standard narrative that after 8 years of conservative mismanagement, Americans voted for a kind of wonky Democrat, and they recast that into a much more sort of riveting epic that's about national paranoia and the barbarians are at the gates and we are all in a lot of trouble unless we patriots, true patriots, stand up and do something right now.
So they are political books, but they sort of read like Janet Ivanovich.
To put it in fictional terms, Robin, the stakes get raised dramatically. They are thrillers. And the idea is, for instance, a guy like Mark Levin, who wrote this book, Liberty and Tyranny, that was on the bestseller list for years, he looks at something like Roosevelt's New Deal and the Great Society programs, and he looks back to American history and says, these weren't programs that were designed to aid the disenfranchised. These were about consolidating the powers of the state. And now Obama is going to take that state power, and he's going to provide medical care to illegal aliens and tax your personal carbon use and spontaneously abort your male offspring. That is the level You're laughing, I get it, but that really, these claims are not viewed to be crazy. They're viewed to be really legitimate worries that deeply affect a population that constructs reality in a very different way from the New York Times or NPR. And I didn't laugh at it so much as I just thought, wow, if I was a culturally dislocated person who felt alienated and aggrieved, I would want somebody telling me that I was in the right and that I was stood on the side of goodness and that it was my job right now in this historical moment to stand up and be counted. To some extent, the way in which these books become really magnetic, they're almost like talismans, is about people saying, I need to find my place in this culture.
Well, okay, first of all, I'm smiling because of your passion. And you know, I can hear listeners who for whom these books are on their bookshelves hearing what sounds to them like an archaeological dig. You've gone into this territory that they live in and appreciate. And they might say to you that what you just said sounds to them like President Obama's comments about conservatives clinging to their guns.
Well, that's fair enough. Let me offer you a couple of quotes that get at what I think is the emotional appeal of the books. So Glenn Beck's comments. Sense, The Case Against an Out-of-Control Government, because I'm not trying to chide or demean. I'm saying these books really hit people where they live. Here's what he has to say, that he wants to reassure us that he also feels, quote, a creeping sense that something just doesn't feel right. America has let thieves into her home. Our country is about to be stolen. Open your eyes. These people are robbing us blind. They have set our house on fire and blocked all the exits. I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I can see why Let me give you another example. Going Rogue, the Sarah Palin book. When I talk with my mother-in-law about that book, she says, you know, Sarah Palin grew up in a place where there were no sidewalks, and she made something of herself. And she is like me. She's aspirational. She's striving, and she is rightfully mistrustful of the forces of quote-unquote government that are going to interfere with her path to prosperity. Sarah Palin in that book might not have hewed exactly to the facts that we call history, but she is creating a kind of character that's much more compelling, frankly, than somebody like Barack Obama. She is creating a character who's more like a fictional character. She's larger than life. You know, she's that grizzly mama, the frontier girl like Laura Ingalls Wilder, who had to raise herself up from a working class background and has made something of herself. And she's not going to retreat. She's going to reload. And it's a very compelling character that she's drawing, not a sort of dry biography of a political figure.
Well, and yet Barack Obama was on the bestseller list. Some would say his story, his real story, is a compelling one. The son of a Kenyan father who left the family, moving with his mother, his adventurous mother, through different cultures. I mean, some would say, you know, also appealing to the emotions, but what, it was told...
Well, I think it's more measured. Somebody like Sarah Palin, when she writes about her personal faith journey or experiences with motherhood, miscarriages, having a special needs child, a pregnant teenage daughter, you know, those are things that speak much more deeply to people emotionally where they live. It's no knock on Obama as a writer or as a politician or even as a person, but as an author, he's much more measured, and that's not what people turn to books for. They want the stakes to be high. They want to feel that they are at risk if they don't stand up and do something.
Well, you know, it's funny. Ezra Klein writes about this phenomenon that you're noticing, Steve Ammann. His title recently on his Wonk blog is "Conservative Books Sell Better Than Liberal Books, Why?" And a lot of people left comments, and some of them agree with you. Here's somebody who says, I'm a liberal, but I have to say that reading conservative literature is compared to reading juicy fiction novels. It's very entertaining. So,
that's right.
Again, appealing to the emotions. Ezra lists some possible explanations for conservatives being on the bestseller list. He said, conservatives are more likely to read political books than liberals are. Conservatives are more likely to read partisan books than liberals are. And by the way, Steve Ammann, Ezra Klein mentions the late Howard Zinn does have the top blue book, A People's History of the United States. But right even there, that isn't as sexy as the books that say, we're going to attack Barack Obama.
Well, not just that. What the books say is you are a part of a kind of elite who understands how broken this country is. And without you, the robbers are at the gate and you have to do something. It's a rallying cry. Here's what Howard Zinn has to say by contrast. This is from A People's History of the United States. The Constitution illustrates the complexity of the American system, that it serves the interests of a wealthy elite, but also does enough for small property owners, for middle-class income mechanics and farmers to build a broad base of support. The slightly prosperous people who make up this base of support are buffers against the blacks, the Indians, the very poor whites. They enable the elite to keep control with a minimum of coercion, a maximum of law, all made palatable by the fanfare of patriotism and unity. Now, people on the left might say, Howard Zinn, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. That's great. That's really accurate. But when I read it strictly as a book critic, it's not as compelling as they're out to get you unless you stand up, brave patriots. It's not something that aggrandizes the reader.
But what about this, Steve Ammann? Is America more conservative than maybe you think?
I don't know. I'm not a political scientist, but I do know that when I was reading these books, I felt the same thing. I felt my sense of indignation and paranoia and grievance and all the stuff inside me that is where I actually live, not where the polite part of me moves through the world, but where I really live, the primal negative states.
Okay, so you have felt the pull as well. Here and now, literary critic Steve Ammann, thanks so much. Listeners, what about you? Why do you think conservative books are so popular? Let us know, hereandnow.org. We didn't even get to Ayn Rand. That's a whole other segment. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.